Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nick T.
Hey, I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have a guest, Miss Jade Joyce, today.
Yay.
Thanks for being here, sis.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So is this your first podcast?
It's actually my second.
Second? All right. So you have some experience.
But barely, yeah.
Well, welcome. We've gotten to know you since you played some of our events. Not only you, but like some of your friends as well. Mm-hmm. It's been cool to watch. We talk about like in town kind of like classes of people, and it's that really just means like crews of friends and everybody kind of getting better together.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see you guys kind of like develop yours and everybody keep pushing together, but like also helping each other.
Yeah, it's, oh my gosh, it's awesome. It's just the way Nashville works kind of blows my mind and everything, because I mean, I don't know where I met these people or really how, I just did. Yeah. And I'm so grateful to be around really talented friends who are just, I like to say they're up and coming, and I really believe in these people. So,
yeah.
You probably met them at Nick's round.
No.
I actually.
Some before.
Some of them, yes. So it is crazy. Ha.
Told you.
Yes.
Well, no, it's, but that's the thing. It's like the scene, right? Or it's like finding other people that you, when you hear that are cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like when we went, Nick and I went and had lunch the other day at Hawker's in East Nashville, and our server was a singer songwriter fresh off the boat. She had just moved to town. And so we were chatting about music a little bit. She's like, I haven't really found like my people yet. I don't know where to play. And we're like, look Nick's round up.
Come see it. Yeah. See if it's your people.
Absolutely. I think it is the best place right now, especially for country music, to find crowds and younger crowds. I mean, whenever I did your round, I was excited to be there just for the round, but then I realized it was where people were hanging out.
Yeah.
And that is so nice and special for a writer's round. I mean, I feel like it doesn't happen a lot, and it's definitely happening at your guys' rounds. So it's really cool.
It's funny too, because like Sundays are a different vibe than Tuesdays, because Matt hosts on Tuesdays, and his is almost even more of the scene. Like on Sunday, you have a little bit of tourists, and like you kind of have to take that crowd and like, you know, show them what you're doing and kind of like wow them a little bit. Whereas like more on Tuesdays is more like a lot of the scene people are out. Other people that are trying to find co-writers or just trying to figure out their artist career. And then Wednesdays has been the busiest of all of our events now.
Yeah.
Like the full band shows. They've been getting busier and busier.
I love it.
Which is crazy. But it's interesting just the different dynamic of which day of the week it's on. You know?
It's crazy. I think all of it's good, because even as artists and songwriters, I mean, we want to be playing to the like normal people, and by that I mean tourists, people that are not in the music industry, because those are the real people. Like you gotta kind of do both and get out of it, get out of the industry side of things and play for normal people. So it's really nice.
That'll good be mix. Who's buying your tickets when they're
yes
buying tickets.
Hopefully I pray for it. Oh,
well. Yeah. But one of the things I talked about, and like when I was talking to Kurt about you, is when you hit the stage, as soon as you start singing, everyone shuts up. They start paying attention.
Oh, man.
For real.
That is so scary.
And that's not always happening, right? Like, that's one of the things that you'll see at an event like ours, that you're like, oh, this person is doing something different than everyone is doing, you know?
Oh, that's so funny.
And your sound sonically is not exactly the same as everyone else, which is cool, though. How would you explain it if you were talking about your sound? What elements?
Yeah, that's like the toughest question, but I love it. It's the real stuff. I would say I'm a really stubborn artist and songwriter. I really just write what I love, and I stick to that. And I think that was one of the biggest issues whenever I came to town. A lot of people ask me, who are you? What box you fit in? Like, do you want to be on country radio? Well, that song is rock, so you might be on rock radio. And I think that was something I struggled with a lot when first moving here. And then I just realized, in the way this music industry is changing, now you can do what you want. And I've always kind of done that. And I'm really happy everything is gearing more towards artists that are doing what they want to do. Mm. But if I had to really describe it, I would say a little bit of Susan Tedeschi. I freaking love her. My best friend met her last week. I was not there. I literally cried about it. Anyway.
Did you literally cry?
I actually did. It was the one night of the week I decided to stay home. I go to Eastside Bowl, honky-tonking, yeah, for the people that know.
Is that Tuesday nights, right?
Tuesday nights. She was there. With Derek. And this is
I would literally cry.
I literally cried. I was not there. And she, I mean, her and Jesus changed my life for sure.
Amen.
So I love her so much. But I love the Allman Brothers. I love a lot of old stuff. And then I like a lot of old stuff that sounds new as well. I really like Ryan Adams. Mm-hmm. He's a big one for me. Whiskey Town, like, dang, they're so good. So I like a lot of songwriter stuff, especially Bob Dylan. I love Brent Cobb. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really big one.
Where are you from?
I'm from Wisconsin and Florida.
Okay.
Yeah. So explain that. Interesting. Like, just live part of your life in one, yeah, part of the other.
I would say, if I had to say exactly like what made me, I would say Wisconsin, because the people, my parents, my whole family, they're Wisconsin people.
Spotted Cow.
Yes, yeah, Spotted Cow. Delicious.
Cheese curds.
Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Best. There?
Oh, yes. It was invented there.
They got good glass factories over there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's cool. Really the best. But I love Wisconsin. I think everyone there is really humble. Great small town vibes. I come from, just cornfields. I love it. And then whenever I was 13, my dad wanted to become a fisherman, like a literal charter captain / commercial fisherman. So we moved to Florida.
Sick.
And yeah, I what love part both. Of Florida? So like South Florida, if anyone knows.
I'm from South Florida.
Really? Yeah. What part?
Cooper City.
Okay, is that west or east?
Southeast Florida. It's like Fort Lauderdale area.
Yeah, so do you know where LaBelle is?
No.
Yeah, no one does. But it's, you know where Fort Myers is?
For
it's
sure.
The west side.
West side. Well, and, no, but okay.
Yeah, I got you there. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm from Alva, which is inland of Fort Myers.
Cool.
It's like, you know, small town stuff, but I love it. It's great.
When did you like really start knowing that you wanted to do music as like your job?
That's a good question.
Good job, Nick. Great question.
Yeah, good question. Honestly, and I'm going to sound so cliche saying this, as soon as I found out who Taylor Swift was, and I think I was probably eight or nine years old, it was like, that was
it. That's young.
That was it. Yeah. That was it for me. My great grandpa was a writer. He wrote a lot of old blues stuff. He really liked hill country blues. Mm-hmm. And that really inspired me to start writing. And then really whenever I was like 9, I started taking guitar lessons, the whole 9 yards. Mm-hmm. And in Wisconsin, everyone plays at dive bars. Like that's the thing. Mm-hmm. And whenever I was like 10, I started playing at bars. So I really have been in it.
What?
I swear.
Wait.
My dad was like the sound guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got a stage at an early age.
I did.
How did?
Yeah. And I just knew. I like always knew. To me, that was the road. And I've always felt like I was meant for it. So.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is so cool. what were you playing when you were 10 years old? Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, I was playing old country.
Like what songs?
So, and Southern Rock. So, Lynyrd Skynyrd, one of the first songs I learned was Simple Man. Jamie Johnson,
In Color.
Yeah, In Color. Of course. That was one of the first songs.
It's like my favorite country song ever.
Yeah,
it's as it should be. Yeah. But honestly, my dad, both my mom and my dad have like really good taste in music. But I, for some reason, just fell in love with anything they listened to. And I think that's so weird because usually you rebel as a kid against your parents. But somehow I loved it.
I was the same way.
And I'm like, I played, yeah.
Man, these like. Beatles, this band's great. Led Zeppelin, you guys are right.
Led cool. Zeppelin is the best.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But yeah.
I couldn't imagine being 10 years old. That's when I started playing guitar. You were already gigging.
I was.
It's crazy.
But it's a good age. You know, I was lucky enough to have parents that really supported it a lot. But then I feel like there's two ages. There's the age where your parents are kind of like, hey, you need to practice. Mm-hmm. They're pushing you, which is great. And then there's the age where you decide, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And whenever I was in high school, that's when I really decided. I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to go to college. I'm going to do music. And I also found Led Zeppelin in high school, and that changed my life. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hear blues elements in your songs for sure. You know, like you can kind of hear the overtones of that. Some more than others, of course. But
yeah.
And then honestly, like you are very powerful acoustic, but you're also very powerful in the full band setting. Your band's like very good already, which sometimes when people move to town, their bands are not good. Just honestly, you know, but you guys have a really cool band. It's sonically cohesive.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And it's again, like one of the things we hear a lot of music, like I hear a lot of people play songs. So like it breaks through, you know,
which is cool. Thank
you. Yeah.
I appreciate it. We play a lot. My band also jams a lot. So I think that helps, but we just love it.
It's also hard for artists that just move to town to get a band together because it's like, come play my music for free while we in jam. And like, it's a lot of people don't want to do that, but it's like, if you get a crew together and you're lucky enough where you can really hit it, then you guys are like playing real tight together. And that's awesome.
Yeah. It's a definitely a tough thing when you first come to town to find a band. And honestly, my best advice to like anyone looking for a band is to go to open jams, no matter what kind of music you're playing, go to open jams. Get up and sing like any classic, you know, but that's how I found mine. And it's crazy too. I feel very lucky for my connection with my band, but we're all best friends. Like last night we were just having a bonfire and shooting the shit. Like it's just, and I think that's another thing too, is whenever you come to town, it's important to try to just find your people and keep your circle tight. Cause that's where the real people are. But yeah, look further than just music. Find those deep connections. I think it's important. Yeah. So,
where are some like cool open jam spots in Nashville?
Ooh.
I know you mentioned the Honky Tonk Tuesday.
Yeah, that's, I love Tuesdays. That's always like fun for dancing. Mm-hmm. The best open jams, I would say Kimbrough's in Franklin. My band actually is the band that runs it. Not me, but my guitar player and drummer. So they do a lot of blues, rock stuff. And then I would say Inglewood Lounge is another good one. Very funk.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely East Nashville is the best place. So.
Hell yeah.
All that stuff.
Agreed.
All the trouble.
And if you like bluegrass music, have you been to the Station Inn on Sundays?
I have. It's have insane.
You? I don't think I've been. I work every Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Ah,
man.
Yeah, that's a fun one, too.
Yeah, it is. And the talent there is insane. I saw, I think, a little kid who was, he was like 4 or 5 years old. I think he was like 4 years old. And he gets up and he's one of the player's sons, but he gets up with a fiddle and it took me like 5 minutes to realize it was him playing. And he was just shredding. And when I say shredding, I mean, I know people that have been playing their whole lives that are half as good as he is. It was unreal.
I can't hear this.
Yeah.
This is offensive to me.
Kurt just recently learned fiddle.
Yeah, it sounds like a cat.
Well, you should ask him for lessons.
Probably. He'd probably be like, you just ain't got it.
Oh, no. Oh, that's awesome, though. I love that.
So you talked about guitar lessons.
Yeah.
So taking those at an early age, like what were some of the songs that they were teaching you? Is it stuff that you like come in and request or is it?
So I got really lucky. So my guitar teacher was another person who shaped my whole entire life. He was like a father to me.
Mm-hmm. Same.
So he was really a mentor. And actually, whenever I went into lessons, it wasn't learning guitar. He was a writer. So he asked me my first day of lessons, and this changed my whole entire life. He said, do you want to be like Taylor Swift? Obviously, that's who I loved at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And or do you want to, you know, be like Jimi Hendrix? You want to shred? And I was like, I want to write songs. I want to be like Taylor Swift. So from that day on, I learned the simple chords, and we actually spent every lesson co-writing. And that changed my life. So
yeah, that's interesting.
Found the importance of writing.
Wow. Yeah. That's very, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
I can understand like a co-writing class or something, but never like actually writing with you. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So a lot of people when they come to Nashville, it's like, I've never co-written before. And you're like, I've been doing it since I was 4 years old.
Yeah. I feel so lucky, but I think it's also really important to just write like by yourself. Co-writing is definitely a skill to pick up. And to learn and push your writing, I think watching other people write is really important. But just writing is so important overall. Like if it's by yourself or, with whoever.
What's your favorite song that you wrote by yourself?
Oh my gosh. That's so hard. I think that's the toughest question ever. But, I would have to say The Joker.
Mm-hmm. That was a great song, by the
love
way.
Love that.
Song. Oh my gosh.
Over here.
Yeah.
Yes,
hey, buddy.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say the Joker. I was reading Lord of the Rings.
Okay, hell yeah.
And then there was like words.
Kurt's like locked in.
Yes. And there was like certain words, you know, in the book. And it's just that whole book is so
awesome. That's why Led Zeppelin used
them
so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, Battle of Evermore.
Well,
yeah,
literally, that's why I started reading the books, because of Led Zeppelin. And then I, you know, found these really cool words, and then I turned them into lyrics, and then that song just kind of fell out, and it was where I was in life and everything. It was so honest, and yeah, that's the magic of it. But Joker, I definitely think that's my favorite one. So.
That's one of my favorite songs of yours. That's probably top two or three.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's great. And your expression of it is part of what makes it powerful, right? It's not even
Thank
just
you.
The lyrics. It's how you present it when you play it. Honestly,
yeah, I just get into it, I
yeah.
guess.
Super cool.
For worse or for better.
Yeah.
It's also cool, like, I'm not a songwriter, but I've written some songs. But it's like, having done that changes the way I read books now. Because it's like, yeah. Oh, the way they phrase that word, that wording is like really cool or whatever it is. And then I start noticing that in all different kinds of literature, even just everywhere. It's kind of like,
absolutely.
Once you're a songwriter, it's like you're always on the hunt, looking for that hook,
yeah,
that little seed.
Looking for the idea, looking for the puzzle. I feel like it's everywhere, especially in other art or forms of art,
sure,
and creativity. I also think the biggest, best place to get ideas is whenever you're in motion. Like, I'll be driving or running, and I don't know what it is, but the world will just come at you when you're living life, I guess. So.
Do you listen to music when you run?
I actually just stopped doing that. I used to. Like, I used to be really, like, I wouldn't run without music. I thought it was what kept me motivated, but I stopped doing that, and now I get so many ideas when running.
That's awesome.
So.
Very cool.
Yeah, don't listen to music, ever. Just write music.
My buddy Brad is, like, this incredible runner. Like, he's done ultras and stuff like that, ultra marathons.
Wow.
He ran 100 miles on a treadmill one time. It's insane.
Is he okay?
He's fine. He's great. He's a great musician also. And he runs by my house all the time. And I saw him just recently. And I said, oh, hey, Brad, what's up? And we chatted for a little bit. I'm like, where's your, you don't have any like AirPods or anything? He's like, no, man, I just, the pitter patter of my feet. I go, okay, cool.
Wow.
You don't, where's your phone? He's like, I don't have it. I'm like, you're just out there raw dogging a 10 mile run. And he's like, yeah, man. I was just like,
that's too long. See, I run like a mile and then I'm so tired and I just go home.
I'm like texting on Instagram. I'm like watching a YouTube video, Netflix.
That's so crazy.
It's an interesting thing though. I mean, culturally, everyone's so attached to their phones, you know?
Yeah.
And music's a part of that. Like,
I know.
If we think about music, like, I'm double your age. And when I was around and young, you couldn't have music with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then the Walkman came and you could, right?
Yeah.
And that was kind of like when I was a kid, but like not everyone could afford a Walkman. So you just didn't have access to music all the time.
Yeah.
You would listen to music when you were at your house, paying attention, listening to music, you know?
That's crazy.
You're flooding me with nostalgia right now.
Yeah.
I remember we had this class in high school. It was like life skills or something, where it's like how to write a resume or that kind of thing. And it was like this really easy class. Everyone got an A, and I would always wear a hoodie, and even it was in South Florida, and because I was so smart, I put my Walkman in the pouch and I cut a hole and I had my headphones and
oh
I would
gosh.
Always listen. And our teacher, she was so sweet. She's like, Kurt. I'm like, yes. She's like, please turn off the Led Zeppelin. I remember that.
Aww.
So she could just hear it. It was like so audible. I thought I was being sly, but like wasn't at all.
It's funny as heck.
No, because they didn't have soundproof headphones.
Right. Yeah. No, the noise was not canceled back then.
Oh, it should have never been. That is awesome. I love that so much.
I
but
forgot about
I think
that.
I think about it all the time and how we are so attached to our phones and just like this really quick dopamine that we can get all the time, and it makes us have a really short attention span. But I think about my favorite music, and in my opinion, maybe definitely some of the best music of all time. Those people did not have phones. They didn't have maybe even TVs or social media. And I think about it, I'm like, dang, they got these ideas because they were just so much living life. And they had literally nothing else to do ever. They couldn't distract themselves. They just had to write all the time. Mm-hmm. And I always think about that, and I'm like, dang, I need to be more like that. And, yeah, just try to...
Well, Nick, really, I feel like you know what I'm about to say, but I have to recommend the book Stolen Focus. If you if you're stuck in your phone or you're stuck in your email or whatever it is, it's a really good book, and it talks about the degradation of our society's attention spans. It's really good.
I will definitely have to read that.
Yeah, Stolen Focus.
I think about the Beatles. It's like they were traveling. I mean, or Led Zeppelin, they were experiencing other cultures to write an album. Mm-hmm. All of this just to write the best music they could write. And I feel like there's really not much of that at all anymore. It's just a rushed culture of music. It's like, all right, let's put out stuff every month as fast as we can. And I understand that. That's how it works now. But I mean, man, I wish I was in the olden days where you could just take a year for an album just purely to be creative.
There'll be some 19-year-old girl in 40 years that'll be saying that about you right now. Don't underestimate Nashville's culture in the scene here. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, you're out of shows all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Dancing and hanging out with Susan? No, not yet.
Not yet, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No, but it's an interesting thing. Nashville, we have so much access to so much music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. It's
before
wild.
Before it happens, even.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you get to see it before it happens. And it's funny.
That's what this is right here.
Yeah.
This is before it happens.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
We have a special treat. We get to see gems while they're being polished.
The becoming of it.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It's wild.
I love it.
And one of the things like Matt and Kurt and I also like talk about is like just watching people get better is wild.
Yeah.
Like watching someone move to town and maybe they have one cool song or like maybe they're okay on stage. And then the next time you see them, they're better.
They're just like, dang.
And the next time you see them, you're like, oh, crap, it's better. It's very, very cool. But part of that is you get to see other people do it, you know?
We become pushed. Yeah. I'm motivated.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the best things about living here for music, in my opinion, as opposed to, I mean, right now, with the way things work, you can kind of live anywhere, though this is still where it's really at. I feel like living here is so good and great because of how much you can be pushed in your music. And I guess the competition is just the way you look at it. I mean, you can become better just by seeing other people and being motivated. And I feel like that's something that helped me so much, and definitely other artists, is just the motivation of it and seeing how hard other people work. Mm-hmm. And wanting to work that hard. So
yeah, that's everyone here's a hustler.
Yeah.
Not even just people that are artists. Like everyone's working freaking three jobs here to try to like get through, or they're working 12-hour days to try to afford rent. You know, I'm sure there's tons of other places like that, but this is the place that's like that is also so heavily entrenched in music.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it really is. So yeah,
it's really great. And I just like the other day, I was like, I posted on Instagram, like, I want to learn how to play the harmonica. Who could teach me? And then I got a bunch of people like, here's a guy. So I'm just going to go drive and harmonica teachers so random, you know, but I feel
that
like
is random.
In Nashville, there's a bunch of people that can, you know, and you could whatever you want to get out of music, you can get out of it in Nashville. But it's only equal to the amount of work that you put in. You know what
I mean? Absolutely.
If you want to grind, there's 10 million opportunities. And if you don't, then that's fine. You know, but.
Oh, I totally agree. I put in my story. I was like, I'm looking for a cello player.
I saw
that. My gosh. So many people answered. I was like, dang, I didn't know we had any cello players. But it's awesome. I mean, and that's another thing, too, is Nashville. It's just a melting pot of different types of music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also one of my favorite parts about Nashville, is going out, seeing a rock show, and then going to Raise Rowdy and seeing some really cool country folks. And then also you have the melting pot in those rounds as well. And it's really, oh my gosh, it keeps things so interesting and just very inspiring. So
yeah, it's crazy. Like some of like Sundays, you get more tourists. So they're mm-hmm. going to Riley Green's Duck Blind expecting country music, yeah. and sometimes they don't get it.
Or expecting Riley.
Yeah, oh yeah. We had like this guy Say When, and he's definitely like emo rock vibes.
I love it.
And you saw these dudes in cowboy hats sitting there and saw this guy enter the stage with dreadlocks and like tattoos all over. Heck and yeah. they were like, what is going on here? But then as soon as he like got comfortable, and he was nervous at first, yeah. but then when he got comfortable, they were like, yeah,
yeah.
they loved it.
That's insane. A great story.
Yeah. Cause it's entertaining and he's great. Mm-hmm. He was just got through his nerves and then sang his stuff and he was cutting up yeah. with the other people on stage.
I love that.
Like, that's part of it too for us. And that's like yeah. oftentimes why we'll book, like I'll say, hey, when you play, do you want to have two friends with you? Cause you know mm-hmm. who you're comfortable with on stage.
Yeah. You know?
So it's like, do you want to come so with your friends? But other times people were like, I want to meet some new people. So then mm-hmm. we'll put them with other new people. So it's kind of like, that's one of the things where we are like trying to be a service. It's like, mm-hmm. do you want a platform to show off you and your cool ass friends? Or mm-hmm. are you trying to meet new cool ass friends?
You oh, know? Yeah.
And you can kind of do both. If it's like, but you know, what do you want to do in your hour slot? Like, do oh, you yeah. want to like show off your... You know, if you and your friends sing background vocals for each other, you know what I mean? Or like, do you want to try to find who the next person you want to write a song with is?
Oh, yeah.
You
know? I think both is great. And yeah. I think it's amazing that you guys give the option. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's great. It's such a good round and melting pot. I love it. So
well, let's talk about the songs that you have recorded that you're going to be dropping from your living room.
Yeah.
So, how did that come to be, and like who's in those with you?
Yeah, so it's my band, mm-hmm. Which is Audrey C, Landon Herring, Henry Cruz. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. Also, just my best friends. Man, I've been wanting to do something like that for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I think the best place is just my house. Mm-hmm. I kind of live in a neighborhood that's tucked away from the city. It feels a little bit like it's not Nashville. So yeah, we just set up everything in the living room, and it was so loud, just very loud. I can't believe we didn't get complaints because we have really thin walls. But I think it was just, trying to get that rawness of just being in my house. And, like, this is where I live and create, and showing that through my songs and through the videos and with the people I love, which is my band.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and there was just, like, some of my best friends there watching, and it was great. So I'm really excited for those.
I remember doing that with Luke back in the day. We did like it wasn't his house, it was like live at Tizzy's or something, you know, where it's kind of like they got a video guy and we cut the song, put it out, like kind of a, not acoustic, but like a raw sort of live take.
Yeah. I love that.
I gotta go back and find that.
I would love to see that.
Same, honestly.
It's on YouTube somewhere. Cool. Yeah.
And that's the best part too, is having the video. I mean, it's one thing to have a live show recorded and all of that, but having the video and good quality, too, it's just really nice.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
One of the things I'll tell you that we see is, like, when we do videos with people and then they start having moments, people go back to them. They search on YouTube for whatever they can find.
Yeah.
And the higher quality the video is, the more they're going to go back to it.
Absolutely. You know? I love
it
YouTube.
It sounds good and looks good. Yeah, dude. It's
I watch YouTube more than I do, like, anything TV else. Yeah. Yeah.
All of my favorite singer-songwriters, like, have blown up on YouTube. Especially, like, Billy Strings. I mm-hmm. love watching old Billy Strings. It's the best.
Same.
When he's got the short hair.
Yeah, it's just, like... There's one famous video where it's him and his friends, and they're just all like really high.
Yes,
and they got like no shoes on, and it's the best. It's
he's
stuff
so
like
good.
That. So real.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's insane. But that's also like, you know, he just reminds me of the old school guys. Like, he's legendary. I mean, he is literally making history, and that is so cool.
Yeah,
and I love the way he plays and his lyrics. They're so beautiful.
We used to play Dust in the Baggie on the radio.
Yeah.
We're like, this song's about cocaine, but we're still going to play it.
It's a classic.
literally on the radio.
Yeah. I love that. I used to listen to it at school all the time. I would be going to school. I think it was high school. And yeah, I always had Dust in the Baggie cranked.
No doubt.
So good.
It's the best.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, never.
But do Billy Strings music.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do listen to bluegrass.
Yeah.
Who needs drugs when there's Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Come on.
Led Zeppelin does, but yeah.
That's the dopamine rush. You're getting you're getting the drugs straight to your brain.
Yeah,
from great
through
music.
Them.
Yeah. Osmosis through music.
Yes.
So why don't we talk about like what songs you did in that set? And then kind of maybe like go through each one a little bit.
Yeah. So we have, if I'm remembering right, we have Know Who You Are. Mm-hmm. I love that song. Yeah, that's a song I literally wrote about first moving to town and having that question asked just like around every corner, especially business people. Everyone asked me who I was. And
suits.
Yeah.
Fucking suits.
But everyone would ask, oh, well, like, who are you? Are you figuring out who you are? Are you country? Are you rock? Are you Americana? And it's, you know, that's a really tough question because I really believe in evolving, especially as a creative person. I think we're always evolving, and that just depends on what we're consuming. I mean, I consume different types of music all throughout the year, but I always have a home base. And I think that's always, I guess, who I am, though I'm becoming who I am all the time. Mm-hmm. But that song was kind of a little bit of a FU, I guess, to those people. It's kind of ironic in that way. And then it's also really just about being young and relaxing a bit when you're asked that question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay to make mistakes and go out and party a little or just, you know, make out with a guy on the couch. Like, that's literally the lyric. And I just want anyone who's moving to Nashville or any young person or just anyone who's going through changes to know it's okay to take your time and change.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, yeah.
100% agree with that. There's no right timetable for any of that.
Absolutely
right?
Not.
Right?
It's not our control.
No.
So,
and
yeah.
You get to see it happen here. You get to mm-hmm. see people figure out their exact thing.
Yeah.
And
it's
that changes
beautiful.
From album to album.
Absolutely.
You know, it changes from month to month sometimes, yeah. depending on the person's life.
And I think that when people ask that question, it's not like a malicious thing, mm-mm. but mm-hmm. it's just kind of like when you hear it all the time, it's kind of like,
man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it definitely can make you feel like a product, but also it's understandable because people want to relate you.
Right.
I mean, everybody needs to relate you to something. That's just human nature. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're trying to market your music, it can be really hard because it's understandable. This is a business, so you do need to market yourself. But it's, I guess, how that people want to know. And whenever you're doing something a little bit left of center, it confuses people.
Yeah.
So, but if that's who you are, you gotta do it. Oh my gosh, you just gotta do what you want. You're the one singing.
In my head, there's two ways to do it. You either see a lane and you travel down it, mm-hmm. or you create your own lane and you make that the mainstream.
Heck yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's a longer journey, but yeah. it's one that lasts longer when you do it. Mm-hmm. If you can do yeah. that, if you can move the needle a little bit, mm-hmm. that's where you become the difference between being an act that has some success and being an act that people talk about for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really, in my opinion, I mean, the way I do it, it's for myself. And I think it should always be for yourself as an artist. I mean, most of the time we're singing to ourselves. We're practicing to ourselves. We're writing to ourselves. And we're the ones going to be singing these songs hundreds and hundreds of times, so you better like it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big part of
yeah,
it. You
sure.
never know which of your songs will be the songs that is the one you sing
Man.
For the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
So you better make sure you love all of them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's funny. Kaylee's always like, I'm like, hey, you should write a song about like drinking beer or something. And she's like, well, if I do, then that would be the song that blows up, and I have to sing it all the time, and I'm allergic to barley.
So it's like. This is very true, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the first one. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I always get into that
no, you're good.
Song because that
we're
means
here
a lot.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know? But yeah, so that's one of them. I recorded The Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Really excited about that. I really love that song. It was personal to where I was in the time I wrote it. I wrote it about a guy. You already know. And then Pretty in the Dark.
I love
also
that
about a guy.
That song, I think, is the one that when you play it, shuts the room up the most.
Oh, man.
You
Thank
know?
You. Well, I would not yeah. play it for a very long time.
That's good.
Because I was like, this is so, I mean, it breaks my heart every time I play it. But I always imagine myself, I guess, singing it to like my family and being, I mean, that song is so vulnerable. And in ways, whenever you sing vulnerable songs, it can be almost embarrassing because you're literally showing inside out who you are. So whenever I just wouldn't sing that song. I was scared. And then I did. And then I realized, oh my gosh, people need this. I had so many girls and boys, like so many guys relate to it as well, which is so, I mean, it's not awesome, but it is at the same time. Like, I just love that everyone relates to it. And I felt like it was needed. So now I sing it almost every time I play.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask if you can tell us a little bit about the lyrical content for the people that haven't heard the song yet, because it may not be out yet.
Yeah. sneaky. But yeah, the hook is, he says he loves us just the way we are. He only calls me pretty in the dark. And I think one of the lines is also like, dang, I'm blanking. I swear the sun would kill him because he runs when it rises. And it's really about not being seen by somebody you see very well. And sometimes I think you want someone to see you the same way. I mean, we all do. We all really need people to see us for who we are inside and out. And sometimes you do that for somebody and it's just not the same in return. And that's really what the song is about. So,
yeah. It's powerful. And
thank you.
I mean, you talk about music and the power that it has. It has power to heal. And sometimes opening a wound yourself is healing other people.
Absolutely. You know?
And that's part of, in my head, like what the great artists do is they express something that other people can feel so that they can help heal, as hopefully you do when you play it.
Absolutely.
Or maybe you don't. Maybe it hurts every time.
It does heal me. I think it used to hurt, but now it definitely heals me. And that's just, I mean, that's normal too, because whenever I wrote it, I was coming out of this situationship. And so it still hurt, but the further down the road I go, it definitely heals me. Yeah. And I think it's funny you say that, because this is said a lot, but I think it's so true. As an artist and as a writer, we sing the things we can't say. And I have never been good at explaining my emotions, but through song. That's why I do it. And it really helps me. And to see that it helps other people, I mean, that's the secret sauce. That just, I love it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. So, yeah, hopefully I can just keep doing it forever.
Yeah. You're going to.
I will.
Yeah. All right. So what's the next one on there?
Okay. So we got Know Who You Are, Joker, Pretty in the Dark. I did a little cover song. So I don't know if I want to say like what it is. That's it's fine. Crazy. That's all I got to say. The song is crazy.
It's crazy. I was going to say, anyway. Is it Patsy Cline or Gnarls Barkley? Or
Willie. Yeah, I think it's Willie, but I love that song. So we have that one. I love covering it. I do it almost every show now just because it's really fun to sing. Mm-hmm. And so we have that. What else? Vagabond. Mm-hmm. I wrote that with my best friend. We wrote it about just wanting to be Rolling Stones. And also just that same point in life is like know who you are, being kind of lost and wanting to find your way. But there's also a badassness to being lost. So I think that's Vagabond. Yeah. And then we also did, Down to the River. I'm not really sure yet if we're going to put that out. I think I might tease it. Mm-hmm. But that's a really important song to me. So I didn't write that song. I know I also played it at Raise Rowdy, but that's a song my guitar teacher wrote. Mm. So he was a big mentor. So he actually passed away a few years back.
Oh, and sorry to hear that.
But he changed my life. And that's a way of me honoring him, is playing that song as much as I can. I play it pretty much every show. And I also just love that song so much. So I love it. But I think I might tease that one a little bit. I don't know if I'll put it all out, but it'll definitely be out at some point. And that's for Keith. That's for him. That's for his family. My prayer is just that I can do them justice with it. So
yeah.
And then I'm trying to think of what else we put on there. Down at My Love. Yeah. So that's another fun one. I think that one's very nostalgic. It's a fun song. It feels like a CCR song, but I think there's a bit of newness to it, and that was the goal. So if I'm remembering right, I think that's all of them. It was a long night. It took like forever.
That's cool though.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I mean, spending time creating with your friends, not a bad night.
Oh, that's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love it.
Is there any live shows that you want to not so shamelessly plug while you're on here?
Ooh, dang, I do have some coming up. Well, I guess when this is coming out, as of now, I mean, I have stuff like soon.
Mm-hmm.
So next week I'll be playing at Fox and Lock. I love that.
Where's that?
It's that is in Leaper's Fork.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I love Fox and Lock. It's such a cool vibe. It's very old, nostalgic vibes. I feel like a lot of old school people play there that have like that blues rock sound. So I love it. But yeah, I will be doing a trip to Florida soon in the fall time. Hopefully Fort Myers area, maybe a little bit of St. Pete.
Cool.
So that's something we're working on. And then also Wisconsin. I always try to go back to Wisconsin. That's where my heart is. So, yeah.
I've saw like some shows that you've done up there and stuff.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, those people, I feel like Wisconsin people are so into music. It's just some of the best crowds, I think, ever. Because really the only thing to do up there is like go to the bars in the wintertime and listen to music. So yeah.
Spotted Cow.
Both great
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. Yeah. It does.
Well, yeah. It's been awesome like having you on, but like also just getting to see you on stage. Thank you so much for saying yes to playing our events when we ask you.
Oh, I love them. It. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. It's a blessing to get to watch like real amazing different talent hit our stage, and we're thankful to have you.
Thank you so much. Well, I feel like I always see amazing talent when I just come to your shows. So
we do our best.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you in the front
row. Yeah.